From the high desert in the great American Southwest, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be, wherever you are around the universe, whatever time zone, each and every one covered like a blanket by this program, the largest program of its kind in the entire world. Coast to Coast AM, I'm Art Bell. Great to be with you, my honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. A very fortuitous guest coming up tonight, Sean Carroll, in light of the breaking news, which we'll get to shortly. First, a couple of, kind of personal notes, I guess. if you would like, take a quick trip up to coasttocoastam.com, click on Art's webcam, and there you will see what has been described as an explosive photograph. It is kind of explosive. That's Aaron. 8 months. 8 months, about to enter the ninth month. And oh my goodness. Getting a lot of comments on that picture, as you might imagine. And that's a keeper, definitely a keeper in more ways than one. So get up there and take a look if you can. Now, we enjoyed Pizza Punch tonight. Finally, my order of pizza punch arrived, and we cooked pizza in the oven tonight and used pizza punch, and it was delicious. Man, I'll tell you, the reviews coming in on pizza punch are absolutely incredible. Everybody's ordering again and again, and that's the mark. This it was years in the doing, and it was something we were going to do for years, try to get pizza punch out, And we finally did, and it was just sort of a let's see how it goes kind of deal, you know, one of those things. Let's get some product out and see how, you know, what people think of it. I mean, that's what you've got to do with any new potential product. You've got to get it out and see what people think. Well, wow, is all I can say. Wow. The reviews are just incredible. You want to see it, it's still in the initial sort of, I don't know, get it out there and see what people think on a stage, but it's all at artbellspizzapunch.com. That's ARTBELLS pizza, PIZZA, PUNCH, punch.com. artbellspizzapunch.com. Now, let's look at the world news and then the story that has me so excited. Wooing influential California Democrats, presidential contender Barack Obama vowed to turn the page on this Iraq disaster, while Hillary Rodham Clinton denounced President Bush's conduct of the war as one of the greatest blots on leadership we've ever had. California, long a major cash source for candidates of both parties, is poised to become more influential in the electoral process as well, having moved its primary to next February 5. Ooh, that's early. As a result, the state Democratic weekend convention was expected to attract all the party's presidential candidates, except perhaps Delaware Senator Joe Biden, who was campaigning in South Carolina. That's a biggie, and it's early. Nice to see the West Coast having an influence on things, finally. A car bomb exploded Saturday in the Shiite holy city of Karbala as the streets were packed with people headed for evening prayers, killing at least 58, wounding scores. Here are some of the country's most sacred shrines. Separately, the U.S. military announced the deaths of 9 American troops, including 3 killed Saturday in a single roadside bombing outside Baghdad, with black smoke clogging the skies above Karbala. Angry crowds hurled stones at police and later stormed the provincial governor's house, accusing authorities of failing to protect them from the unrelenting bombings, usually blamed on Sunni insurgents. It was the second car bomb to strike the city's central area in 2 weeks. President Bush pushing for a hard-to-find breakthrough on a broad immigration overhaul appealed to graduating college students in this diverse city, Miami, to help in persuading Congress to produce some kind of bill. The president gave the commencement address at Miami-Dade College, where more than half the students were raised speaking a language other than English. He gave the class of 2007 an assignment. Tell their elected representatives in Washington to get going on immigration legislation. Al-Qaeda-linked plotters hoped, apparently, to reproduce the September 11, 2001 attacks, planning to send suicide pilots to military bases and attack the oil refineries that drive the economy of Osama bin Laden's homeland, according to the government on Saturday, revealing new details of the purported plot. A government spokesman said some of the 172 attackers trained as pilots in an unidentified, troubled country nearby, hoping to use the planes to carry out suicide attacks. Billionaire Donald Trump gave $10,000 to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to help pay off his campaign debts a little more than a month after the governor guest starred on Trump's TV show, The Apprentice. According to a campaign filing in an episode that aired March 18th, Schwarzenegger hosted five of the show's contestants in his private conference. All right, in a moment, we're going to talk about what I think is clearly one of the most exciting stories since I've been doing Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, all right, there's a lot of news out there, but nothing that eclipses this, in my opinion. It's from the Daily Mail, but it's all over the internet, and I'm sure you've heard about it earlier in the week, but oh my. It's got the same climate as Earth, plus water and gravity. It's a newly discovered planet. It's the most stunning evidence that life, just like us, might be out there. Above a calm, dark ocean, a huge, bloated red sun rises in the sky, a full 10 times the size of our own sun as seen from Earth. Can you imagine that? 10 times bigger, small waves lap at a sandy shore, and on the beach, something moves. That's the scene, or maybe the scene on what is possibly the most extraordinary world to have been discovered by astronomers, the first truly Earth-like planet to have been found outside our own solar system. The discovery was announced April 24th by a team of European astronomers using a telescope in La Silla in the Chilean Andes. The Earth-like planet that could be covered in oceans, may support life, is 20.5 light years away and has the right temperature to allow liquid on its surface. Now, that's 20.5 light years. In other words, 20 and a half years to get there if you could do the speed of light. The remarkable discovery appears to confirm the suspicions of most astronomers that the universe is swarming with Earth-like worlds. We don't yet know much about this planet, but scientists believe that it may be the best candidate thus far for supporting extraterrestrial life. The new planet, which orbits a small red star called Gliese 581, is about 1.5 times the diameter of Earth. It probably has a substantial atmosphere and may be covered with large amounts of water necessary for life to evolve. And most importantly, temperatures are very similar to those here on Earth. It is the first exoplanet, a planet orbiting a star other than our own sun, that is anything like our Earth. Of the 220 or so exoplanets found to date, most have been either too big, made of gas rather than solid material, far too hot or far too cold for life to possibly survive. On the treasure map of the universe, one would be tempted to mark this planet with an X, according to Xavier DeFoss, one of the scientists who discovered the planet. Because of its temperature and relative proximity, this planet will most probably be a very important target of future space missions dedicated to the search for extraterrestrial life. Gliese 581 is among the closest stars to us, just 20 and a half light years away, about 120 trillion miles in the constellation Libra. It is so dim it can be seen only with a very good telescope. Because all planets are relatively so small, and the light they give off so faint compared to their sun, finding exoplanets is extremely difficult unless they are huge. Those that have been thus far detected, in fact, have been mostly huge. Massive, Jupiter-like balls of gas that certainly cannot be home to life. Now, this new planet, known for the time being as Gliese 581c, is a midget in comparison, being about 12,000 miles across. Earth is a little under 8,000 pole to pole. It has a mass five times that of Earth, probably made of the same sort of rock that makes up our world, with enough gravity to hold a substantial atmosphere. Astrobiologists, scientists who study the possibility of alien life, refer to a climate known as the Goldilocks zone, where it's not so cold that water freezes, not so hot that it boils, but where it can lie on the planet's surface as a liquid, water that is. In our solar system, only one planet, ours, Earth, lies in the Goldilocks zone. Venus, too hot, Mars, too cold. The new planet lies bang in the middle of the zone. Average surface temperatures estimated to be between 0 and 40 degrees centigrade, or in other words, between 32 degrees and 102 degrees Fahrenheit. Lakes, rivers, even oceans are possible. It is not clear what the planet is made of. If it's rock, like the Earth, then its surface may be land or a combination of land and ocean. Another possibility is that Gliese 581c was formed mostly from ice, far from the star. Ice is a very common substance in the universe and moved to the close orbit it inhabits today, in which case the entire surface will have melted to form a giant planet-wide ocean with no land, save perhaps a few rocky islands or icebergs. Surface gravity is probably about that twice that of Earth, and the atmosphere could be very similar to ours. Oxygen, nitrogen. Although the new planet is in itself very Earth-like, its solar system is about as alien as can be imagined. The star's center, Gliese 581, is small and dim, only about the third size of our sun and about 50 times cooler. The two other planets are huge, Neptune-sized worlds called Gliese 581b and d. There's no A to avoid confusion with the star itself. The Earth-like planets orbit its sun at a distance of 6 million miles or so. I remember our sun's 93 million miles away, traveling so fast that its year is only 13 of our days. The parent star would dominate the view from the surface. If you can imagine a huge red ball of fire, it must be some kind of spectacular sight. It's difficult to speculate what, if any, life there might be on the planet. If there is life there, it would have to cope with higher gravity and solar radiation from the sun. Just because Gliese 581c is habitable doesn't mean it's inhabited. But we do know its sun is an ancient star. In fact, it's one of the oldest stars in the galaxy, extremely stable. If there is life, it has had many billions of years to evolve. Think about that. This makes this planet a truly prime target in the search for life. According to, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, Seth Shostak of the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute in California, the Gliese system is now a prime target for radio searching. We had actually looked at the system before, but only for a few minutes. We heard nothing, moved on, but now we look again. By 2020, at least one space telescope should be in orbit with the capability of detecting signs of life on other planets orbiting nearby stars. If oxygen or methane, which would be telltale biological gases, are found in Gliese 581c's atmosphere, it would be good circumstantial evidence for life. Dr. Malcolm Freeland, a European Space Agency scientist, said the discovery of Gliese 581c was an important step on the road to finding life. If this is a rocky planet, it's very likely it will have liquid water on the surface. That means there may also be life. The real importance is not so much the discovery of the planet itself, but the fact that it shows that Earth-like planets are probably extremely common in the universe. There are 200 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Many astronomers believe most of these stars have planets. The fact that almost as soon as we built a telescope capable of detecting small Earth-like worlds, one turns up right away on our cosmic doorstep shows that statistically there probably are billions of Earths out there. As Shostak says, quote, "We've never found one close to being like Earth until now. We're finding that Earth is not such an unusual puppy in the litter of planets," end quote. But these alien Earths. Well, are they home to life? No one knows. We don't understand how life began here on our world, let alone how it could arise anywhere else. There may be an awful lot of bugs and bacteria out there, but only a few worlds with what we recognize as plants and animals, or, of course, there may be nothing. The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute uses radio telescopes to try to pick up messages sent by alien civilizations. Interestingly, LEES 581C is so close to Earth that if its possible inhabitants only had our level of technology, they could just about pick up some of our radio signals, such as the most powerful military transmitters. All right, what would happen if we, for our part, did receive a signal is very unclear. Now, listen very carefully to this quote. There is a protocol, quoting Dr. Seth Shostak. Listen very carefully here. The president, he says, would be told first, after the signal was confirmed by other observatories, but we couldn't keep such a discovery secret, end quote. So we now learn the president would, well, he'd hear first. So they would keep it from the public for at least a little while. Seth has never told me that. But in this article, he's quoted as saying the president would be told first. It may be some time before we detect any such signals, but it is just possible today that we're closer than ever to finding life in the stars. So I think that is about as exciting a story as I've ever read on the air, and I really did not expect that in my lifetime we would find another Earth-like planet. Now, this means that if we ever get close to traveling the speed of light, or even a healthy proportion of it, we could go to another world that would support our life. That's awfully exciting to me. I don't know about you, but to me, what if it's a virgin planet without life? What if it is a planet simply awaiting inhabitants? I don't know which way would be more exciting. A planet we could populate with human beings, or a planet where we could meet other life forms that, well, according to this article, would have had billions of years of evolution ahead of us. Either way, really exciting. All right, I think we've got time to grab a call. We're going to do unscreened open lines. And then, as I mentioned, fortuitously, in the next hour, Sean Carroll is here. Sean Carroll is a senior research associate in physics at the California Institute of Technology. He's going to be talking about theoretical physics, astrophysics, focusing on issues in cosmology, field theory, and gravitation. Now, with a discovery like this, he'd be the guy you definitely want to talk to. Let's grab a quick call. We'll give you the numbers as we come back from the break. But right now, Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Going once. Going twice. Gone. Let's try another Wildcard Line. You are on the air. Hi. Oh, this is interesting. I'm not getting audio. Hello back there in California. No audio. Somebody's going to have to throw a switch back there, or something has abandoned us. I will try one additional. Wildcard Line number 3, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
Much better now. I have you.
Good. My name is Clark, calling from Ontario, Canada.
Yes, sir.
I'm an undergraduate physicist and working towards a paper that I believe you'd be quite interested in, if I could take a moment to give you the synopsis of it.
Very quickly, sure.
Okay. Well, basically, what we discovered is something to satisfy the solution you were just talking about, which is how to approach light speed. And it has to do with a breakdown of relativistics. And essentially, what I believe had been thought by Einstein. Whether or not he came to it, I don't know. But it seems that it has to do with interfacing with matter on a very unique level, at which you can manipulate the actual way that gravity flows through it, if you follow me.
Not yet. I don't follow you yet, but I hope to. So what I will do is hold you over the break. We're coming up on a break very rapidly here. So sure. I'll hold you over, and I'll try to break it down for me in language that everybody will understand, okay? Good. Hold it right there, and we will be right back. That really is an exciting story, my God. We've found another planet like Earth. The implications of that and it being billions of years ahead of us, not millions, but billions of years ahead of us, and in terms of a possible evolutionary building time, that really is exciting. And, you know, they indicate that unless we're specifically looking, even if we were specifically looking for signals, or they were, they would barely be able to hear, it, assuming they were aimed right at us, our strongest military radio transmission. So getting something outside the Earth's atmosphere in terms of a radio telescope that'll look for signals, I'll tell you, this is the first place I'd be pointing. How about you? We'll be right back. Well, all right, back to our caller, and you were talking about as fast as light, or do you contemplate even faster than light travel as being possible?
Well, that opens up a big can of worms.
All right, well, let's deal with the can we've got open right now. you're talking about traveling near the speed of light. Let's stick with that. How would you do it?
Well, I didn't actually say that, but if you want to stick with that kind of can of ideas, sure.
Okay, well, no. I want to go with your can. What is your can?
Oh, okay, well, the can actually can produce the results of all of the above that you said, first of all. Now, each one of those will have a sort of proprietary technique for achieving the same.
Meaning what? You can't tell me about it?
I can tell you about some of it, but this is all time pertinent. If I was on for 3 hours, we could go into a lot of it, but and some of it I can't talk about. But what we could is much detail. So
tell me what you can.
Right.
Titillate me.
Do you remember, this would be extremely helpful for my research as well, and it's going to corroborate with what we're talking about, but do you remember interviewing an ex-admiral that was associated apparently with the Philadelphia experiment? And he was talking about time anomalies and doing experiments with mechanical clocks and cameras inside time bubbles. Do you remember that?
I kind of recall it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, that's important, of course, but and this is sort of going into some fuzzy areas that haven't been well calculated out, you could say. That
well, now I asked you during the break to think of a way you could explain it so everybody would understand.
Right, okay.
Proceed.
Well, this isn't exactly easy, but I'll do my best. If you can imagine, for example, the gravitational constant, which allows things to fall at 32 feet per second, correct?
Okay, yes.
Or 9.81 meters per second squared. This relates to an unknown phenomena called gravity, which, as you can appreciate, is still being heavily researched. And the particle called gravitrons is, in part, supposed to be responsible for this effect, correct?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, gravity is a function of mass, right?
Well, I
don't know about gravitons.
Well, graviton is a particle explanation for a phenomena, including the gravity wave, which is part of the particle sort of duality and the wave-particle duality problem that's going on right now, which in this can would circumvent the need for either particle or wave. It would actually supersede. And this is sort of some of the new theories that are coming out. Of the most important of those new theories is one called the causal dynamical triangulation theory, which is talking about the absolute Planck size space. And what we mean by that is 10 to the negative 34, which is a size, very, very small. It's the smallest size you can possibly ever get to, according to current physics. And at that size, they're saying we've come to a new model for what that might be. And it brings us all the way back to the school of Pythagoras, which talked about seven sacred, and by Pythagoras' means, it was in fact holy and divine to speak about them, which was the seven Platonic solids.
All right, listen, I'm going to stop you here and say you have not succeeded in explaining this way the average person could understand it. You're kind of all over the place, but feel free to send me an email and see if you can explain it. And if you can, who knows, maybe we'll have you on the air. Maybe you're on to something, but I couldn't tell from what you just said. So I'm available, ArtBell at AOL.com or ArtBell at Mindspring.com. Fire me off something and we'll go from there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. I just had a really quick question. With all the theoretical physics guests that you have on recently,
yes.
I was just wondering, will Dr. Kaku ever be on again?
Sure. How's that for a fast answer? Sure.
Okay. Because I noticed he hadn't been on in a couple of years, and I was just wondering if everything was still in good standing with him.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yes, we will have him on again. I have done so many interviews with Dr. Kaku that we have covered pretty much of the material that he has. And so we're exploring other theoretical physicists to see what else is out there in the world. But we'll get around to Dr. Kaku again. Sure.
All right. Thanks.
All right, you're very welcome. Take care. Dr. Kaku is the co-founder of string theory and a brilliant, brilliant man, to be sure. But I thought we might want to take a look at what the rest of the world of theoretical physics has to offer, and that's what we've been doing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Good
evening. Turn your radio off, please.
Yes, Art, it's off. Good evening,
okay.
Art. Congratulations to you and Aaron and your coming baby, and all blessings upon you, Art.
Have you seen that photograph?
Excuse me?
Have you seen the photograph?
No, I haven't. I'm not on the computer. I would like to see it, though.
Yes, you would.
Yes, sir. Art, several weeks ago you'd posed the question, does evil exist outside of us? Or does it exist only within us? Does it
That's
exist
right.
outside of us as a separate entity?
That's right.
And I would certainly propose to you the idea, which I found to be true through about 25 years of research and a lot of curiosity leading that research. And I have found that the global elite who control the economy as well as own the economy of the planet all have one thing in common, and that is that they take their religion very seriously, and that their religion is referred to in nomenclature as the Luciferian doctrine. And that they worship Lucifer, and they serve Lucifer, and they believe Lucifer to be a true reality, and actually Almighty God himself.
Yeah, but how do you know a lot of them aren't Catholics, Jews, Protestants, whatever?
Excuse me?
I said, how do you know a lot of them are not Catholics, Jews, Protestants, whatever?
Actually, they are, Art. Actually, they are.
And Luciferians at the same time?
Only in name are they... Do they refer to themselves as other than Luciferians? They refer to themselves as Luciferians among themselves. And they do control our society in this country as well as throughout the world. And through the multifaceted beast of what is referred to as social engineering, thus we see manifested the evils of the crimes against one another, the war and the crime and everything else that you would think of is what's going wrong in society. These things are done intentionally to bring about a certain result.
You think it's their fault?
It's at their instigation that our reality is in the negative the way that it is. These things are implemented intentionally by them through a Hegelian dialectic philosophical means in order to gain a certain result. They create certain conditions out of which a result will come. Their main objective in actually bringing the world down five notches is to bring it in a docile way into the new world order of nations, in which there will be no more national sovereignty.
Okay, I've always wondered about this. I don't understand why everybody always thinks that those who run everything, these international elitist new world order people that they talk about, always want the world, our nation and the world, to fail. That's very bad for profits. Very, very bad for profits. It's better when things are going along swimmingly and when industry is doing well and there's lots of trade, and that's how they make their money. Why would they be plotting this external evil influence that would cause man with free will, which I believe, by the way, to begin doing terrible things and ruining the world? It has never made sense to me, and you always look for motive in everything, and I find no motive. If they exist, as he stated, and I'm not acknowledging that they do, but if they do, certainly they wouldn't want to ruin everything, because that would ruin their bottom line. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello, turn your radio off, please.
Okay, hold on a second.
That's something to remember, all of you. When I say you're on the air, instantly turn your radio off.
Otherwise, how's it going, Art?
It's fine.
Is this Art?
Yes.
Okay, basically, I have a story about the undead. I don't know if you're familiar with that topic at all.
I am indeed.
Oh, you are?
Oh, sure.
Okay. It was like a very striking circumstance that took place. I was deserted, basically, in between Las Vegas and Victorville, California.
There are many undead in that area.
There is?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Like, I didn't know that.
It's what I call the Baker Triangle.
The Baker Triangle.
Oh, yes. Cars mysteriously stop and overheat in that area, and of course, leaving many undead wandering. I think we lost him. He's gone. Yeah, okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. It's Corey in Minnesota.
Hi, Corey. You have anything for us on the undead?
Oh, no, I didn't.
No.
But you'll be curious to hear this. I was listening to that replay of Terrence McKenna from 97.
Yes.
And you mentioned that 95% of the bees were gone. You referenced a news story. It was in the last hour of the open lines, like 3 minutes into it.
Way back with Terrence, I said that?
10 years ago, 95%.
That might have been, sir, a regional thing, but certainly not national.
Nope.
With
you said the world's
27 states now affected here in the U.S.
You said the world's honeybees, and you even grabbed a piece of paper. You should go back and check it out. It was on.
You're right. I will. I certainly will.
Hey, and don't you think it's funny that after last weekend, someone accused Seth Shostak of being the disinformation, you know, specialist, they come out and release this information, make him a hero. I just thought it was funny.
Well, I'm the one who has always argued with Seth, and I think it was Seth who said again and again that everybody would know right away, instantly, if there was contact with a radio contact from another civilization. It couldn't be held secret at all. Now, he's quoted in the Daily Mail article as saying that, indeed, there is a provision for the president to be notified first, and then he does go on to say it would be confirmed by other observatories, but we could not keep such a discovery secret. I'm not so sure. I never have been, and I remain unsure. I think that kind of thing could and would be kept secret for some time. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, I've got a question about the SETI ordeal. If they found a signal and the government told them to be quiet about it, like, do you think Seth would go public, or would he be a company man and do what they say?
I really can't comment on what Seth would do. I just don't believe that the public would be told right away. I've never believed that, sir.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they've got a lid on the whole UFO situation, too, so they'd probably want to keep a lid on that one as well.
Oh, look, our government operates on secrecy. It's the currency of the realm.
Yeah.
So my opinion is it would be held secret, it would be discussed, and whether or not to make it public would be a heated argument indeed.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Mm. But I'm just we'd get lucky. One of the SETI people would go under their shoes or under the rug and sort of feed info to the media or something. I don't really know much about Seth's character, but I think that would be the right thing to do.
So do I. The answer is that I do, in a way, agree with Seth. In other words, as various observatories were called upon to confirm the finding or the signal, that eventually word would leak out. But I think that for a while, for a period of time, particularly depending on where the signal came from, how close it was deemed to be. In other words, if it was 20 light years away, well, they might tell us. If the signal appeared to be a lot closer, my opinion is it would be a matter of national, if not world, security, and it might be some time before we'd hear about it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hey, Art. This is not a bootlicker. Okay. Just wanted to say hi to you, and I had a great guest idea.
Okay.
Mr. Larry Spring, a 92-year-old physicist, because I know you like scientists.
I do.
He's at LarrySpring.com. He's got all those free energy devices you crave so badly.
Well, does he have any of them working?
Yes, he has all the small models in his shop up north in Mendocino. And he gives lessons every Saturday and Sunday to the children that show up.
Well, I hate to be the doubting Thomas, but it ought to be all over the news. Anything that actually runs on free energy,
he's 92.
I don't care how old he is.
It's hard to get out, you know.
I don't care. I mean, if he really has demonstrated this and has the real McCoy, it should be in the news everywhere.
He has a patent on the spring atom, too.
The spring atom.
Don't ask me what it is. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll ask him. But my opinion is that if there really was a free energy device, anything so little as a toy that kept going and going, leaving the Energizer bunny huffing and puffing in the rear, we'd all know about it. Let's go to the wild card line and say, good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is Cheryl from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm calling to congratulate you on the soon-to-be-here little Asia.
Ah, thank you. Have you seen the photograph?
No, I'm not able. I do not have a computer yet. And then,
yikes.
I don't have a computer yet, but I sure would have liked to see that. And I have I say that in about 15 to 16 months, you're going to have another little girl, and her name may be Asia. I mean, not Asia, Ariel Bell.
Ariel,
Ariel.
Oh, no, I think one is going to be it for some period of time. So.
Oh, probably. I'm a cat lover just like you, too, and I was wondering what little Dolly and Abby and the other one,
what they look like. Well, again, if you had a computer, you'd know that, because I'm posting pictures of little fur balls all the time. Abby and Dolly get along. Oh, they're fast friends, very fast friends, as those of you with computers have seen. Yeti holds himself above Dolly to some degree. And Dolly is jealous of Yeti, and whenever Yeti comes near me, Dolly runs over and swings her little paws at him, driving him away. Now, I don't understand how that's occurring, because Yeti is at least four times the weight of Dolly and could easily trounce Dolly, but doesn't. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Jeff from Bountiful, Utah.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Fine.
I just wanted to ask you, if the government is actually concealing the fact that we've been visited by alien beings, why would they do so?
Well, because it would shake a lot of people's faith, for one reason. A lot of people believe that we came here as was described, sir, in Genesis, and that we are the only ones. And that there would be others would kind of shake the foundations of what they believe. How's that? Hello? No? He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Well, that's my opinion. That's not the only reason. Another very, very, very good reason that we've discussed any number of times here on Coast to Coast AM is that our government really can't do anything about it. If these things are traversing our atmosphere at 25,000 plus miles per hour successfully without burning up and turning into little piles of jelly. That means they can do things we haven't even thought about doing yet, including stopping them, shooting them down, or otherwise affecting them. And governments don't like to admit to their constituents that there are things going on that they cannot have an effect on. So that would be another reason. Basic religious foundations might crumble. People's faith might crumble. Governments might tumble. I don't know. Just a few reasons. I'm Art Bell, and we'll be right back.